Garrett Ilsen here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. On this episode of Celeb Savant, I'll be speaking to Stacey Jackson. Stacey Jackson is a singer, songwriter, entrepreneur, TV presenter, and mother of four. She became an inspiration for stay-at-home moms when she shot to fame, having launched a career at age 40. Following the chart success of her debut single, Stacey has gone on to release four albums and over a dozen singles, recorded a track, Live It Up, with the legendary Snoop Dogg. She has also worked with Papa Levi and prolific dance music producers and remixers such as C-Rod and David O'Day. She's toured the world from stadiums to floats at Pride. Stacey also has her own show on Sky called Stacey Jackson in the 80s. This is Celeb Savant with Stacey Jackson. Stacey, how are you? Where do we find you in the world? And what's happening in your world?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm based in London. Yeah. Luckily, it's absolutely gorgeous here. We've had a wonderful summer. And obviously, my accent is not British. Yeah. I was born in Canada, moved to New York, lived there for about 11 years, and then came to London over 20 years ago now. Mm-hmm. So don't do any math.
Now, I was reading up that you decided to, at a later age, dive into your entertainment music type career. Tell us more about that.
Well, I was always singing growing up. I was singing since I was 11 and in a band by the time I was 15. And so, you know, in Montreal and then moved to New York. And it was always something that I was doing because I could, and I always wanted to focus on it and be, you know, I wanted it to be my vocation. My dream was to record an album, but you know, life gets in the way, right? And yeah. I got married young, I had four kids, and you know, that the kind of industry that I'm in, it takes a big toll on you. You have to be committed, you have to be on the road, you've got a tour. So it was never something that I thought was really in the cards for me. And then my kids got a little older and, you know, I just got to that point in my own life as a mom, stay-at-home mom, where I thought, you know, I didn't want to be 70 or 80 and go, well, you know, I could have or I should have. And so I was in my late 30s, I embarked on recording an album. And by the time I turned 40, we released the album, and it was an album that I did for a charity here based in the UK. And one song got remixed, and there I was sitting between Lady Gaga and the Scissor Sisters. And so I started getting calls from like proper commercial pop and dance producers, saying, you know, your vocal suits this genre of music. Would you like to write an album? And the rest is basically history. So, yeah, here I am. It was 15 years later.
Wow, that's amazing. Were you surprised by, or not surprised, I'm sure you were grateful, but it wasn't the intention to do that. It was just to record for the charity. Were you surprised that it had legs and carried it to where it is now?
Yes, I really was. I mean, you know, the door opened and I walked in it. I didn't know what was going to happen on the other side. I didn't know that ultimately it was going to take me to a collaboration with Snoop Dogg or a career in television. I mean, it was a real beginning of a journey. And I just said, you know, I have to do this for me. And my children and my husband were very supportive. They, you know, they obviously believed in me, believed in my talent, believed in my tenacity. And at that point, you know, after focusing on my family, my husband said, you know, this is your time. It was a mutual agreement that I needed to be able to give it a go, because like I said, I didn't want to be much older and say, well, maybe I would have had the opportunity. Yeah. And if it didn't work for me, at least I would have given it a go.
Yeah.
But it all worked out in the end. So yes, we were very surprised, but pleasantly surprised. And I think things happen for a reason.
Yeah. And they say it's always about just showing up and having gratitude and being present in your passion, and things will happen.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Yeah, that's for sure.
And wait, I know, and this is a touchy subject for, you know, I get frustrated by the subject because the world is very much focused on numbers as in age, you know, age being this, and because you're this age means you can't do that. And I say to someone, everyone all the time, that, you know, you're as old as you want to be, and if you want to do something, yeah, you can do it. Did you ever experience any sort of backlash or ageism, as they call it, as in your journey?
That's an excellent question. I think, well, yes, at the beginning, obviously, and I think we spun it quite well. I think people were just as impressed or, you know, shocked that somebody would have of that age have the chutzpah to go and give it a shot. So I think that people were at first like intrigued, and so then they're like, oh, well, who is this person? And they listen to the music and they're like, wait a minute, what? She's 40? And then, you know, you go and you show them. And I performed everywhere, from festivals to stadiums to Formula One to, I opened up for Billy Ocean. I was on the road touring. I did football matches, and like I did it, and I put in the work, and I was able to show them that I still had it. And I think at the end of the day, if your supporters and your listeners love the music, they love what you're putting out, the DJs are playing it, then what does it matter how old you are? You're giving people great music, and I don't think it makes a difference. And now you have all these, you know, 80s stars who are back and very relevant and on tour again. And I think it's incredible that the new generation is now getting an appreciation for songs that, you know, are transcend the test of time. So I feel very, very blessed.
So yeah, I'm glad that we're moving out of that ageism thing. Speaking of 80s artists, I was reading the Bananarama autobiography, and when they turned, I think it was 24 or 25, the record label said, okay, you has-beens in the music industry now, but they're not interested in them. Something to that effect. I was like, they're 24, 25. How can they be has-beens? So I was like, it blew my mind that such a comment would even be thought of or made.
Well, it's funny. I mean, I had this conversation. My kids are very into football, into soccer. And, you know, if you're in your mid-30s, you're ancient. I mean, they get rid of you, you know? I mean, it's a very grueling vocation. Not, I mean, obviously being a professional athlete's a lot more physical, but I mean, you know, it's not like you're sitting behind a desk all day. you have to put in the grunt work, like I said. So I'm like, more power to all these amazing artists out there who are in now their 70s, you know, running around giving performances. I think it's wonderful. I really, really do. Yeah.
And if you can, why not?
Exactly.
So tell us more about your music and your creative process.
Well, I've been writing original material since I was 15. So, but I've actually transcended myself through different genres of music. Obviously, living in the 80s, my influences at the time was probably like the rock. You know, I was really into the Def Leppards, the White Snakes, the Van Halens, you know, like I was a rock chick at heart. But then sort of out of the late 80s, I've got very into fitness and health. And so hanging out in clubs and fitness gyms and stuff, that the music that had that beat for me was very inspirational, because it gave me the power to move. And I loved that. So I think now, even in my current music, what I do, even though it is very influenced by the 80s, I sort of like to mix it up a little bit and have a little bit of that rock edge, but yet I have the beat with the dance music. So that's really what my journey has been. And I'm very grateful and very lucky that I authentically lived through that era. So by writing music, I can actually pull upon real life experiences and sounds of that time. So, and it's great because I get to introduce it now to people who didn't live through it. You know?
Tell us more about your television career. What's happening in that space?
So I was asked to be the host of an 80s nostalgic television series here on Sky TV. You probably get Sky. And it's been great. The show's called Stacey Jackson in the 80s. I actually wrote the theme song for it, Flipside, which a little pat on my back is my, went to number one 2 months ago.
Oh, wow. So, congratulations. Mazel tov.
Thank you very much. That was a very big deal for me. And the show is, basically every single week I theme out, you know, my playlist based on, you know, what I feel like talking about in the week. So it could be movie soundtracks of the 80s or UK rock versus American rock mm-hmm. bands, women in the 80s, you know, the fashion influence from music, MTV. Like, I mean, every single week is a totally different episode. And because it's, you know, I only get to play, I guess, 11 or 12 songs per episode, I could probably have, you know, the same theme if I wanted to for like weeks on end. Yeah. But I like to mix it up a bit. And and it's been great because I get a lot of feedback from my viewers who throw in requests and they tell me where they were during the time they heard this particular song or what it meant to them. And, you know, so it's been really great. And I love the research that I do on it. So I always throw in a few tidbits on, you know, what I'm talking about, some different trivia about whatever band I'm highlighting or whatever artist. So it's been a real memory lane experience for me and for my viewers. It's been great.
So is it an hour long show or an hour long show? So basically yourself presenting information about the artists and then playing those music videos.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, which is so cool because I mean, you remember you used to get VH1 and MTV. Where have they gone? Like, there's
I'm a VJ. That is what I am. I'm a mature VJ. But I'm like I said, it's been great because I literally lived through it. So it's not, I get to put in also a little bit of personality and some personal experience to it as well. Like, you know, I did an episode on the music that was there during my Sweet 16 year, which was like 1985 or whatever. And so I just did an episode on ones that have just turned 40. So basically from 1982, some songs from 1980. So every week is fun and it's different. And I just, yeah. And I've also, I've got a few 1980s, I don't want to say old artists, but artists from the 80s. Yeah. They're not old.
No.
like Heaven 17 came on the show and they introduced their, you know, one of their records and they're on tour. So it's kind of like the way you do your thing with your artists. You speak to people who have, you know, from the past and largely if they have anything to say about what they've got new material coming out. So I like to, you know, I don't want it to be too talk showy.
Yeah.
I want it to be more informative and people who watch my show really just want to watch the nostalgic videos. So I find it really interesting because I'm a television person. So we're film, you know, we obviously film in HD, but like the 80s was only SD.
Yeah.
Finding high quality links it's not consistent. It's quite difficult, but I think people watch the show for the nostalgia. Yeah. I think that they're okay with the fact that it's not crystal clear, you know, as it would be if you were watching something from that was filmed like now.
Absolutely. Know? Yeah. Totally agree. Moving on to that transition from being wife, mother to performing on stadiums and stages. How was that transition for you? Was it a shock to the system? Was it a quick movement and then all of a sudden hit you? Like, wow, I was there, now I'm there. Tell me more about that transition and that journey for you.
You know, I loved it, loved it, loved it. And when you're on the road, you're in it and you're just so focused. And especially if I toured, I had dancers in tow. So it was like a real camaraderie. And no matter where I toured, whether I did a North American tour or a British tour or a European tour, it was always like, you know, like a real experience in itself, not just getting up on stage and singing, but like the act of being on tour was something that I always wanted to do. And I feel like I've done it. I've been there. I don't miss it anymore. I mean, after COVID and then obviously landing the television series, I feel like I probably will have to go back on tour at some point. I have a book coming out next year. So I do know that travel is definitely back in the cards for me, but it's not the same when you're building a career and then you get to a certain place in your career. And, you know, it's part of, everybody has something in their life that becomes a part of who they are, right? And that very much so was very much part of who I became now. And largely because, you know, my kids were super supportive, and if they can come and see the show, they would. And, you know, my husband was the same. So I loved every single part of it. But like, do I miss it? Probably not as much as I thought I was going to be honest. I and maybe it's because I've been fulfilled recently by the new television series, and of course having finished the book during COVID, that I'm moving on to other things in my career. And I think that as an artist, being able to expand and try different things, it's good. I mean, it's fulfilling for me.
Yeah, but I mean, it looks from our side glamorous, and you know, one country to the next. That is, it can't be easy. It must be damn hard. Flying, change, rehearsals, and you don't know if it's day or night because of the time changes. It's not that easy. It appears to be glamorous, but it's damn hard work.
Absolutely, and especially the kind of music that I do, a lot of it is very, very late at night. So, like, my Vegas shows were, like, at 1 in the morning, and, you know, my kids were getting up for school at that. You know, I'd get off a stage, and I'd call home, and my kids at the school run, and I'd be like, oh, hi, guys, okay, I know you're off to school now. I just literally just got off the stage, you know. So it just really depended where I was in the world. And it was, like you said, no, it's not glamorous at all times. It is sometimes, but it wasn't at all times, and it was tiring, but I really enjoyed every single minute of it. And you know, I still get the buzz. You know, somebody gave me a phone and said, get up there and perform. I wouldn't say no.
Now, tell us more about the book. Is it an autobiography or?
It is a fictionalized book loosely based on my life.
Okay.
It's called How a Gangster Rapper Made Me a Better Mom.
Okay.
And so it'll be out next year, and maybe I'll be on your show again talking about it when it comes out.
Sure.
But yeah, and it's a fictionalized account. And I fictionalized it because I had a lot more sort of dramatic license to be able to do it that way.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been approached by many, many reality television series asking me to be on their shows, and from Celebrity Big Brother to the Real Housewives and all that. And I just didn't think that something like that was the right thing for my family. You know, I never minded it, but, you know, being followed around by cameras, I'm used to that. But like, to expose my family to that sort of thing was never anything that anybody wanted to sign on for. So by doing it in a book form, it sort of made it easier for me and for them to you know, to deal with it. So yeah, it should be an interesting thing when it comes out, but we'll see.
It sounds interesting. I'm looking forward to reading that. Tell me your experience of South Africa. Have you been?
I've only been on a safari. That was the only time I have ever been to South Africa, and I absolutely loved it. But I'm desperate to go to Joburg and to Cape Town. Where are you guys based?
I'm in Joburg.
You're in Joburg.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're both two different towns.
Two different cities,
obviously. It's like saying, you know, you've been to the States, you've been to New York.
Yeah. And LA, yeah.
Two different places. So, I am, it is in the cards for me, definitely. In fact, I was thinking about doing it this Christmas, but my daughter's doing her GCSEs and it's just too complicated. So we'll see, but it's in the cards for sure.
Good. So we'll keep in touch, and when you come here, we'll have coffee.
100%. I'm taking you up on that.
Perfect. Music as it was in the 70s, 80s, 90s, you had your vinyl, then it was cassettes and CDs. Those are making a comeback. Gratefully, I love me a CD, but now it's this whole digital world. What are your thoughts about how people consume music now compared to previously?
Oh, that's another excellent question, because it's like, you can go two different ways with that. Mm. I mean, the internet was definitely my best friend, but also my enemy at the same time, you know, and I, as an artist, it's definitely diluted the revenues, but it's also exposed me more globally. That's why you don't have to do as much touring if the music gets streamed, you know, so it's, I mean, it's a much greater conversation than that. But, you know, I am grateful as an independent artist that we have the internet now. But it is tougher. There are other ways for a musician to make money. That's licensing agreements and syncing your music with TV and with film and stuff, which I've been doing. And I think, but you know, because it's so diluted now with the streaming, it is very hard as a business model for the artist. And so that's changed. That said, you know, for me, someone like me and you who like this and just the nostalgia of it, I do miss the quality of the album, the vinyl, you know, even a CD is different because you can touch it. It's tangible. It feels like something, you know, you're purchasing an actual thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's a long, long conversation. And I think every artist will have an opinion about it. Like I said, I have to be very middle of the road because like there were so many advantages to being able to have this new plethora of the world at your fingertips as an artist because of the internet. But then again, in terms of the business revenue, it's not the same.
Yeah. So it's, for me, I still buy CDs, and on Celeb Savant, every week I do a CD unboxing of the ones that I've got. Because it's like something different and new. And it was like, oh, you still get CDs. I never knew you still got them. But it's just to show that.
Well, I'll send you a couple of my older CDs.
Oh, please do.
And just give me your address on an Instagram message and I'll.
Oh, that'll be amazing.
Send them over to you. No problem.
Brilliant, brilliant. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot. I love this. Top of mind. Your top favorite songs, top five favorite songs by other artists.
Oh, well, I'm gonna give a little plug for myself because my new record is out. I've just done a cover of Foreigner's Urgent.
Yes.
And Urgent was one of my favorite songs. Back in 1981, I was probably 12. I loved Foreigner. So that is one of my favorite songs and I finally got to redo it and it just launched a couple of weeks ago. And it's I Stacey-ized it, so I definitely covered it in my way. So I do love the 80s rockers. I would probably have to also say, you know, Guns N' Roses for sure.
Wait, which song?
Which particular song? Probably Sweet Child of Mine, you know, that kind of thing. I also, if you're going to go back to Motown, always holds a very special place in my heart. Anything from the Supremes, Diana Ross, I Hear a Symphony, You Keep Me Hanging On, any of those songs. Back in the 90s, if we're going back to the 90s, I liked a lot of the dance music stuff. I liked, I don't know if you know, Jam and Spoon.
Oh, yes. Riding Tonight.
Yes. Riding Tonight. Yeah. Right in the night, and that Plouffe was a really good friend of mine, actually. Yeah. So she'd be upset if I didn't tell you that was one of my favorites. So that's another one. I think currently, like if I had to do a current one, I am a huge fan of. I think Dua Lipa is like an unbelievable talented woman. I also like The Weeknd, and I think maybe I'm kind of honed into them specifically because they've been touching on some of the 80s.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds in their current records right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably why I'm feeling a little bit of a connection to those artists. But I mean, you know, I have a connection to Snoop Dogg. So I'd be stupid if I didn't say that any one of his stuff was my favorite. I mean, anything that he touches is gold, literally. The guy just has to say one sentence. So he's probably my favorite rapper. So
Thank you for that. Now, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. Yes, mainly in South Africa, but throughout the world. As a final message to our listening audience, what would you like to say?
Oh, I would love to say just keep on dancing. You know, music is the for me, you just have to press play and move, right? And I love that you could just pop in your earphones and just dance or walk, or, you know, movement is so great for everything. It's for your spirits, for obviously for physical, and for your health. And I think that music and health and well-being are so synonymous with each other. So for me, my message to everyone is just keep on dancing.
Keep on dancing. I love it. So this is Barrett Edelstein's Celeb Savant signing out with Stacey Jackson.